week, and it's finally here. Ladies and gentlemen, this is
Brady and Micah review sports movies because there's not much sports going on in the summer segment on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Very good, Michael. Mm-hmm. Very good, Michael. Go, best friend.
Well, I did major in conducting in college.
No, you didn't.
I didn't know that. I don't think Ames had any music programs. They had a history of rock and roll.
Okay, let's just get into it. Varsity Blues.
I don't want his life.
I don't want your life, Michael.
I don't want your life.
James Vanderbeek, God rest his soul.
Sound like Forrest Gump when you do it.
I didn't realize, like, his accent. A lot of their accents weren't.
They were terrible.
Lance Harbor's dad. What accent was he trying to do? Show him what you're made of. Like, I didn't understand. Like, his accent was not, like, Texas-y at all.
This is a bunch of people who grew up in California.
Yeah, and they're like, be Texas.
Trying to be Texas. That's kind of what a lot of the movie was.
Yeah, it's how like, is Paul Walker okay, more believable
they only care about
than
football.
The guy who played his dad?
Like, his dad was not, like...
No.
I didn't get what his accent was. Anyway, we've got, of course, what's-his-face Michael back there.
Best friend.
Derbs, the dude down the hall, joining us from down the hall. And Tanner Schwind, host of Good Morning NoCo.
Co-host.
Yes, and we are reviewing Varsity Blues. By the end of the show today, we will decide if this is a starter, a bencher, or if we're cutting this movie overall.
No all-star.
Stop okay. doing what Michael does. I did make breaking news at the end of the segment last hour. I did move For the Love of the Game to a bench.
Oh.
I did. The only reason I think I started was because Michael hated it so much, and I just went against it, but... I love the movie. It was one of those movies that I remembered a bit differently, and the love story did kind of bug me a little bit. I still liked the love story of it, but I thought there was a lot more baseball to it, so I did change it to a bench. A lot of comments on this one today. This is 1999 when this came out. This was like the height of MTV, and you know these kind of movies were coming out like crazy. Let me read some of the comments on it before we get started. Whipped cream bikini is just what Ryan says. Dixon says whipped cream bikini. Kyle Bell, former running back for Colorado State, chiming in. That's an all-timer. Doesn't say whether he's starting it, but I'm guessing he's starting it.
Hall of Famer.
Justin Michael says, from DNVR Rams, says the acting is aged so poorly, it's high school theater level, the way some of those scenes are overdone. I'd cut it because there are better football movies. Well, that's the thing. This isn't like a limit. There's not a limit. So there's not like 11. You can only start so many movies. There's no limit on it.
Yeah. Like you can start a bunch of movies. There's like no 53-man roster. Look.
Mike says, I would put it ahead of Remember the Titans.
Oh, no.
That's terrible. That's
Arthur
terrible
says,
take.
Start it. I give it a 10, a 10.
Everybody stole everything I had to say in here today. I was just going to say whipped cream bikini. That's the biggest flaw in this whole movie. No 18-year-old boy is turning that down.
Anytime you get a movie that has an iconic scene, mm-hmm. it's automatically going to lift that into epic stuff. And of course, whipped cream bikini is one of the more epic scenes.
This one had a ton of them in there. Justin Michael's take is just absolutely atrocious, may I say.
But I didn't think the acting was that. I mean, I think Paul Walker is the worst. God rest his soul. I think he's the worst actor ever,
so
but very good looking.
Bad. Oh, yeah. Who cares what he says with a beautiful
didn't.
Mouth?
That's why they cast him.
God, that was probably his best film.
It probably was his best film.
Fast and Furious, Dustin? Have you not seen Into the Blue?
22 of them.
Him and Jessica Alba? I don't know what that movie was about.
Yeah,
but
Jessica Alba, but I don't know a thing.
I enjoyed the screen.
The beginning of the movie when he's standing up there at their pep rally, and John Voight's there as the coach, and he just hangs out. I don't think he teaches or anything. He just like makes $1 million coaching this high school football team, and they cheer, and he puts his hand up, and he's like, "I brought us all these championships." And Paul Walker gets up, and he's like, "I had a dream last night."
He didn't sound like that.
Oh, Texas, this is y'all had a dream last night, and
this is your worst take.
And we were beating. What was the team? Bayman or something?
Yeah, I don't know.
Bayfield? I don't know.
Yeah, no, Bayfield.
We're beating him 14-3. Then I woke up sad, and all the girls were like, and then, but because I know we're going to beat him way more than that.
Yeah, that the one thing that they definitely overdo a little bit is just how openly horny they made every one of them.
Oh, especially
because when he's like, I was laying there in bed last night,
yep.
And all the girls are like, oh! It's like, no, come on now. Come on now.
You didn't get that treatment when you played quarterback? When you played quarterback?
Close. Close. I thought Paul Walker was really good in this. He had it all, right? He was a starting quarterback. He looked like that. He knew the role. He could play the crowd.
He had a full ride scholarship to Florida State.
Mm-hmm. He was ready to go. Now, his dad was atrocious actor and terrible person. I got to tell you guys, the first...
Not a good friend, by the way, of John Mox's dad. They're supposed to be friends. He's a jerk to him in the movie, man.
Yeah, the first 40 minutes of this movie was like PTSD for me. It was because it was literally where I grew up. That is what the dad's the exact same way, reliving. I don't want your life like that.
Did you ever have that moment with your dad?
No, because my dad didn't care. Like he did not care.
Did your mom
care?
That's
how you turned out this way.
No, not
there
not
was never
not
anyone
that,
in your life where you're like, I don't want your life.
Yeah,
best
you're
friend with the pet pig.
You guys, yeah, yes, all of you guys. I don't want any of your lives. I'm good.
I don't want your life.
But the, no, it,
James Vanderbeek
actually gave me PTSD watching it because I think that's what was so good about it was that it was not. It was really relatable because of how much the parents were acting like that. It was that is small town USA
football. I was watching
USA
it last
football.
Night, thinking I was like, I bet Tanner's going to come in with the take of this reminds me because I mean I grew up in even smaller town and football was a big deal. But I don't recall it being obviously this is in Texas too. Like it's a religion down there. But it was it's just a. I figured you would come with that take.
For sure. Like, when I was playing, we were playing in the playoffs when I was in high school, I was getting called names that I wouldn't even use at halftime when we were losing a game in the semifinal. Like, it was insane to me. So, watch, and you knew whose dads wanted it more than their sons, because then you could talk, and it's like, there were always those kids on the football team who did not care. They were just out there because it was a social thing. They just wanted to hang out, but their dads were forcing them to do it, and their dads were always the assistant coaches, right? It was PTSD for the first 40 minutes of that movie. But you talked about Bud Kilmer and John Voight as Bud Kilmer. He played that role so incredibly well.
Yeah, he's incredibly unlikable and was just spot on in all of it. Even from like the prep rallies to even like the final scene when he finally gets booted out of the locker room because the players won't play for him anymore. Everything that he did, he was probably the one character that you can say everything that he did was spot on.
Yeah,
for
great actor.
How the plot developed.
Correct.
He was the best. I think it's safe to say he was the best actor.
Oh, no. Yeah. No one's close.
And I didn't think James Vanderbeek was bad. Necessarily.
I don't think he was bad. I think the writing was not good for him at times, too. And I think for a lot of those characters, I know we'll talk about his girlfriend.
His girlfriend was the worst part of the movie. And I don't remember her being that bad of a part of it. And last night, I'm like, I text you guys. I was like, she's worse because she's inconsistent. She didn't like the fact when Mox finally became the starting quarterback that he was kind of like living it up and enjoying
this.
Then he got so popular. And then at the very end, she's kind of like, go be a hero. And I'm like, where did that come from?
Well, I mean, she won't talk to him, right? There's the scene through the drive-thru that he's like, you can't get me to go away from here or whatever the hell the accent was. And she goes, hey, everybody, he's staying in here. And then they're like, guys
and
girls.
And this is after playing
on.
Like three games.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Correct, man. And but then he gets the acceptance letter to Brown. You get the I need to talk to you about the game Friday night.
Yes,
and that's the line, I don't want you alive.
I don't want your life.
But then he goes to his girlfriend's house, knocks on the door, she opens it, and no reaction, right? She's like, oh, I don't want to. He's like, I got accepted to Brown. And she's like, this changes everything.
Yeah. I'm
like, oh, hello.
Well, he gets a full ride scholarship to Brown. He opens the letter up, and his mom's like, I'm so proud of you. And the dad's like, what about, that's great, but what about the game?
I need to talk to you about the game.
I don't want your life.
It's so true, because it is just so
bad. But you can see, like, his dad's. you know, his dad feels the pressure from the other dads all the time. And
yeah,
it's just this competitive thing all the time, and it's crazy.
I don't want your life. I don't know if it's resonated more with players who didn't want to play high school athletics, but they were trying to live up because that's what their dad had in store for them. And I think we all probably had teammates like that.
Here's one of my – okay, obviously they had a stud running back, but Mox was running the football a lot. He ran the football a lot. Why not play him? Why not play him in another position? Why not run him at receiver, tight end,
in case
or something?
Paul Walker goes down.
I guess.
I forget all the
characters'
names.
They had no third-string quarterback, by the way, because when Mox decided at the end of the movie, like, I'm not going to go out there. Well, the only way we're going out there is by you. And then, you know, they're like, Tweeter, you can be the quarterback. I'm like, so this great legendary coach, your backup quarterback now is your star wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, Coach Kilmer.
Yeah, way to plan ahead.
That's not good coaching right there.
Way to plan ahead
there. You can start to see the cracks in his career at this
point. Well, it was a couple of bad recruiting classes. They didn't recruit well to that high school.
The one thing about Mox, is it Moxon? Is
Mox.
That, yeah, Mox. His family... The little brother is hilarious to me throughout that entire thing.
He's got like 14 different religions.
Yeah, and then he comes walking through there all covered up, and his mom goes, "Aw, did you start a cult?" Like, I'm so proud of you.
My people. These are my people.
And he's like, "No, you play football. You can't do anything but play football."
All right, so let's read a couple of texts. Dixon just says, "Whipped cream bikini baby."
Yeah.
And Ollie Larder, is it Ollie?
Allie.
Lighter is still a smoke show. She's the wife and landman.
Yeah,
Smitty
she is.
With a similar text saying, did you know that she's the wife and landman?
Have you
Billy
watched
Bob
Landman?
Thornton. I have not.
You guys are, you're focused.
Very
like,
good.
Why have we not talked about Miss Davis yet?
Miss Davis
Miss
is
Davis
special education
the
teacher.
I knew,
and she
I knew
also does
exactly.
some other education.
Yes.
Night.
I knew exactly still. What was going to happen with her. As soon as like she showed up and started talking sex education, I'm like, someone's going to fall
also,
in love with
if
her.
If she's any kind of health teacher, she's very responsible because Billy Bob is having a heart attack in the classroom, sweating his butt off, and he's raising his hand. She's like, not now, Billy Bob. And he's like, I'm dying, man.
He's not one of the attractive high school people. So she was like, shut up, fatty.
Shut up, fatty. I am dying. And he goes to the bathroom, and she walks in, and he falls to the ground, and the health teacher's like, and it's Mox that's like, get the nurse in here. Like, are there no adults at this school?
Nobody willing to claim responsibility.
Nobody willing.
I want to go back to something Cindy said. She did another set of education tonight.
Yes.
Same sex education, just a hands-on approach.
Just a hands-on approach. And she actually, like, it's a fairly small town.
That's what I was saying.
And
too.
Nobody knows that she's a stripper at night.
I don't know, but I can guarantee you there has never been a better use of the song "Hot for Teacher" than in that scene because she walked out and everybody their jaws dropped.
By the way, controversial take here.
Don't.
Totally irresponsible move by Mox to take him out drinking the night before.
Well, they were playing a bad team, remember? He thought that they could just walk through it. Mm-hmm. It's just
that's not what you do. Man.
I know, but
so Kilmer had some, you know, he's a bad character, but he also was like right to be a little like, I don't know if you're poisoning my team, son, which he kind of did.
Okay, he's poisoning the team and he's making Billy Bob go out there with a clear concussion. I got my CAT scan.
That didn't exist back then. Yeah. It was you got your bell rung.
No, he got his CAT scanned. That's when Billy Bob's all excited.
They scanned my cat.
All those parents, like Lance Harbor's parents, should probably sue him because he shouldn't have been playing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can he play? Any hope for this season?
That's such a good line.
All right, 19 minutes after the hour, we continue on Varsity Blues. I will admit, this is more of the more fun reviews we've had so far. Because good movie, but there were several kind of holes in this movie.
Where were the assistant coaches?
When Lance takes over the job, he's got a headset. I'm like, who's he talking to? And why is no one like, this isn't coach?
You didn't need assistant coaches. John Voight was everything.
Well, and then you didn't need coaches because Mox and Lance Harbor were drawing up all the plays.
That they never practiced.
That they never practiced, and actually every time they practiced them were terrible. We'll be right back.
You know, you can hear your favorite KFKA shows anytime.
Ooh, anytime that you want me.
find podcasts of Good Morning NoCo, Coach Speak, and the whole show on Apple, Spotify, or 1310kfka.com.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I feel like Varsity Blues is one of those movies where it might have a lot of holes in it, but it still, like, the holes are actually kind of funny. You know, like, my issue is the intentional grounding.
That hits the mascot?
He hits the mascot twice. He hits a little bumblebee one, and then he hits the cowboy on the horse. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's intentional grounding. Spike the ball, man. You took, like, two extra seconds to throw it across the field. Just not smart football there. And then when he decided to go into the no huddle, everyone was like, it was like the when they figured out the alley-oop in semi-pro. Mm-hmm. It's like, what
was that?
Yeah. How are we going to do that?
Yeah, everyone's running the wing tee offense in this movie, and they go, let's spread them out and go hurry up. It's like no one has ever seen that
before.
And
you have the guy up in the stands like, how many gosh, that's a lot. Yeah. Plus, it also screwed the running back over yet again by going with the 4 air.
But they won offense, district for a shot at state, but never played football again.
The biggest hole in the entire movie, and it bothers it. It bothered me then. Is obviously they. I think they only lost one game, and that was the hangover game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yep.
After going to the strip club to see Miss Davis, and they lose that game, but then they win the final game to win their district championship. And then the voiceover from Mox is, I never played football again. And it's like, wait, you guys are in the playoffs. Did you get disqualified because you lost your coach?
I don't want your life.
I mean, why are
they just quit after that. They're like, you know what?
We're done?
We don't want his life. We're all going to like play basketball or read books or something.
Yes. And he did read books during
the A.J. Brown.
He was
Micah loves.
Yes, you love. You would not play for Coach Hilmer because he was pissed about that.
No, I don't like that.
He grabbed that book and tossed it.
Bud Kilmer make you guys irrationally angry? Or do I have some deep trauma that I need to sit down and talk about with a therapist at some point over coaches?
He made me mad.
He made me mad.
He's abusive and self-centered. And it's like, I'm not used to coaches here.
Michael, those district championship banners don't get hung up by themselves, bro.
Yeah, you want to be a soft ladder, coach, go somewhere another else. Guy.
The scene in the locker room, that one was the worst. That one when he's like pointing, go, don't tell him what to do with his body. And then Billy Bob's yelling and just the commotion of that locker room scene. That was his worst part where I was like, ooh, that's a real bad look for
you. And for a really funny movie, they had some really good, serious moments. When Billy Bob's contemplating killing himself after Kilmer said, you ain't no boy of mine or whatever the line was.
Kicks him out.
Very serious. Like and Mox is a like sneaky, tremendous guy. Because as soon as that pig walks in the door, he goes, oh my God, you know, I know what he's going to. And he goes. The other one, like Allie Larder's character, he wouldn't do it. Yep. He's like, you're worth more than that. And like sneaky, good guy, Mox is.
Oh, yeah.
But Kilmer, in one of the other serious moments, when they finally say, we're not playing for you. The break of a man, because that broke Kilmer. Mm-hmm. He's like, he's done this in his entire time, and he's going out there, and he's still pumping his fist, like, come on, come on. And there's nobody following him. There is this, like, sneaky, good, powerful scenes in this movie, along with a whole lot of laughs along the way, including when they do get rid of Kilmer. All of the assistant coaches went with Kilmer, apparently.
Well, they're never in the locker room.
Trainers are gone.
The trainer, by the way, needs to be in trouble, too, because the
trainer was never there. Even though he was there, he knew nothing about injuries.
But he was giving shots like crazy and everything. Yeah. Question is, who's the better quarterback, Lance Harbor or Mox? Who are you taking?
Taking Lance Harbor.
Oh, I'm taking Mox.
I'm taking Mox.
Oh, no.
He's got attitude. He's got a little bit of an attitude. Yeah. But, I'm taking Mox.
Nah, Lance Harbor was the man for a reason.
Do you think Mox ever told Lance, hey, man, your girlfriend invited me over?
Hey, dude, I came real close to screwing
like,
your girl.
They were at the strip club. He's like, man, you're a good friend. You're the only one to visit me. Well, funny thing, you know, she
wrong
asked
with
me
a little French in him, right?
She asked me once to come over, and I instantly just went there
and bought
a box of condoms. But no, man, I'm your best friend. Yeah, man, I'm
he
good.
He asked the little kid behind the glasses.
Yeah, he's like, "What, Allah? Allah?" Yes.
But I'm still so confused about how Paul Walker just starts calling plays. And you mentioned it, he's got the headset on, but it's never, like, on his ears. It's just, like, around his neck.
Well, because there's probably nobody there talking to
like,
him.
Yeah. I'm like,
is there someone in the booth?
Where is the offensive coordinator? Where is the DC?
Nobody asked, hey, where's coach?
And the parents are just like, oh, good for our kids.
Yeah, they're going
out
there.
Oh, they want my life.
Yeah, like, legend. They didn't need an offensive coordinator. It's Texas.
They had their like this legendary coach they built a statue to, and nobody, they didn't even like even one scene of one parent just saying, "Where's coach?"
Yeah.
Not one person. They're just like, "Let's go, Mark."
Those broadcasters, though.
Oh yeah,
that are doing like a pseudo radio broadcast, but also the public address announcer. Like they were doing both.
Being radio people, the sideline guy goes and finds Mox in the parking lot. First off, you're interviewing him on the field. Goes and finds him talking to his girlfriend, and it's airing because Lance is sitting in the hospital room listening to Mox, and then he just says thanks and walks off. And I'm like, what's playing now? There's nothing going on after he says thanks.
The radio on the radio when they made no sign of Bud Kilmer. The play-by-play guy.
Oh,
goes,
they did actually.
Yeah,
okay,
the play-by-play guy goes, no sign of Bud Kilmer out there on the field. John, did you piss him off with these comments right before halftime? And I'm like, that is 100%.
I did miss that.
You could listen to any other than ours because we got freaking Jerry Schimmel and Kyle Johnson and Bruce Dick doing it. But you could listen to any radio high school call. And that's what they're saying if the coach isn't on the field. Did you make them mad with those comments about the play call?
One of the billboards they had up when they would go out on to a visiting team, it was like, hey, on to the game or whatever. Last one to leave the town turns out the lights.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, yep. That's pretty much.
One town, one team.
One town, one team. Yep, 100%. There were, like, for me, there were some of those flashbacks.
Yeah. Too.
Not maybe as much because you were quarterback. You were Mox.
I was Mox.
You were Mox. I was definitely like a mix between Tweeter and the running back. And Paul Walker, probably a mix, like somewhere.
All right. Together in one.
Probably along those guys.
I was Mox my first 3 years of high school, and then I was Paul Walker my senior year.
What do you got for me, Mike?
I have a clip. One of my favorite actually my favorite part with the broadcasters.
Okay, go for it.
Touchdown, Gilroy! Hold down there by Matt Garvin, the end zone, and look at him dance with the football. Get some mustard. There ain't no room for that
hully-gully
stuff down there like that.
Ain't no room for any of that hully-gully stuff? Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Did you guys notice, whatever team they were playing to win district but not play in state, number 78 on that sideline for the other team, he's every little move. He's short, fat little dude. And I laughed because we all had one of those too that he never saw the field, but he was the hype man. He's out there just busting all the moves down.
I love when Mox is giving his inspirational speech at the halftime, which this is the world's longest halftime, by the way.
Correct.
You had a guy threatening to put a shot in the running back's
without
knee.
His consent then or parental consent.
You have all these other players, and they're like, no, you do that, I'm going to get you. And then they have this big argument, and then the coach tries to kill Mox and all that. We'll play that coming. That one? The Mox one?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do that because that's the end. That's the inspirational scene. And you know, so it's just a long halftime show. And it was the world's longest halftime show. But it cracked me up just looking at the side characters. Like, you had that really tall guy that had the horse call.
And he was like 112 pounds.
Like, I'm like, shut up, man. We haven't seen you make a play all freaking season. You don't get to be in on this. There's four players on this team.
Also, you talk about a flaw. Put me in, I'll block the punt. Put me in, you know, when Billy Bob wants to go. And he just grabs the guy. His whole team. Like, we're getting too many men. We're getting too many men on the field penalty
there. I was wondering that too. I'm like, dude, he's got to go.
Yeah,
he pulled him out. He's got to run.
The
snap the ball, center. Yeah. Long snapper snaps ball. We get first down.
Yeah. Game over.
Game over. Seriously.
Why did they not return it? That was it. Like, they never showed the ball.
They never showed what happened to the ball. We're just done.
Yeah.
Ball, done. Off camera.
Yeah.
You could tell from every angle that none of these guys have ever played football. Maybe they were taught a little bit.
See, I disagree with you because Mox
Tweeter looked like he was an athlete.
Tweeter? Mox can throw the ball.
Yeah.
Like, he can throw the ball. I don't know if you've seen
some
of those.
Was it just bad directing? Because it's like 90s. The football action was so annoying. It's like, we've never watched a football game, but I'm going to send this guy out there to jump in the air, and three guys are going to jump in the air and hit him, and it's not going to look realistic.
I thought it was sick.
I actually thought some of it was even Mox's quarterback runs when he would have to take off and scramble. I actually thought for 1999, that all looked pretty realistic.
Every once in a while on the sacks, when Mox would get sacked, and the guy's like 10 foot in the air coming down at him, I'm like, okay, that's a little bit, but at least they got a guy who looked like he could throw a football. There's some of those movies, I mean, where the big guy on campus, he's like shot putting a football out there.
There's those old Disney ones where they're like throwing the ball back and forth, and then they switch cameras, and 20 hours later, the ball comes to him.
Yep.
That fastball that he threw to knock the cowboy off the horse looked like John Elway out there. That got him right in the side of the head. Plopped him off the horse.
When he threw the ball from the bench, the ball rolled over to him, and he chucked it. You ought to look that up, Michael. See if it was actually James Vanderbeek throwing the football.
The one, if you watch it closely, where you're talking about when he hits the mascot, which, again, we would have said intentional grounding, lost it down. When he hits, you can see the cowboy on that horse put his feet in the saddle and jump. Like, when that ball hits him, you can see it's not timed perfectly. So ball hits, then he jumps off the horse. I caught that just for a split second. I was like, They were close.
Well, why not just spike the ball? But that's Mox for you, man. Okay, Mike.
According to AI, which is getting it from the sports column, James Vanderbeek did not do his own throwing in Varsity Blues.
That ruins it for me. Bad movie.
At least they got somebody in there where it looked like it. I mean, because
I thought it was good.
Mm-hmm. I disagree with Mike. Like, it's not Remember the Titans. I think the Remember the Titans football scenes is excellent, but I think that's the greatest sports movie ever, too.
Second greatest.
But I think it's, if you say Rudy, dude, we are not best friends anymore.
Fun little fact, it's Getty Burke.
By the way, I didn't look, but I don't know if there are any correlations between this movie.
Probably not.
How is it that John Voight is still alive and the majority of this main cast members
are
dead?
James Vanderbeek passed away, Paul Walker passed away, and Lester, who played Billy Bob, passed away too. Who also played reprised that role in Not Another Teen Movie.
Yeah, great movie there too.
I actually like that movie more than this one. It's so ridiculous and stupid.
The best thing to come out of this movie is I now get 75% more of your guys' references.
I mean, a lot of my references come from Varsity Blues.
What are they doing?
I don't want your life.
Man, Smitty says, whole show, Tanner Schwitt, Michael Kirkpatrick, and Derbs and crew should do this movie reviewing horrible Texas accents to match the low quality of this movie.
Smitty, Smitty, what are we doing, man?
38 minutes after the hour. Review coming up soon. We continue on with our summer movie review extravaganza. First football movie of the series, Varsity Blues. But let's take a quick break and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Let's go, Mox.
The most cliche song.
Yeah.
And they doubled down on it. Yeah. They played it twice in the last 20 minutes of the movie.
So good.
It's. I didn't know that song was that old. When I was watching it, I was like, what? Because this movie I thought was maybe late 80s, early 90s. I didn't know it was 99 when it came out. That I got fired the F up last night when that came on.
Oh, yeah. The final game, the second half, everything.
So good.
The oop-de-doop or whatever they run at the end.
Yeah, they're just doing a perfect...
It's the old hook and ladder.
I love when he doesn't know what the hell the play is they're calling.
Yeah. There's no, like, just yell, hook and ladder. They were bamboozled by quad receivers.
Well, they couldn't handle,
their minds are going to be blown.
They couldn't handle the no-huddle offense either. They were so confused.
So, yeah.
Like, how is this happening? This is weird.
They only were went against running teams, I guess.
It was all wing tee. It was all wing tee. And that is also what I kind of like, because probably then, you know, in the late 90s, early 2000s, it was all still wing tee. That's what those Texas schools
ran.
Well,
it's like Coach Kilmer told Mox, though. He said, hey, if we run the ball, we can grind them.
Yep. Strong side.
Said, nope, we're going air raid. Go to complete. And then I love that the cop and a friend show up at Mox's house to talk to the dad, and they're like, we just want to make sure Mox is going to follow the game plan. Yeah. Do you think Kilmer was like in the bushes, like, did you talk to him?
What'd they say?
Is he going to follow the game plan?
That is true. There's a weird mafia thing for the high school head coach and the local PD there.
Yes, it was so good.
In their town.
Yeah, they allow Tweeter to just take a cop car and run with it.
So, Tweeter, not great guy.
No, Scott Kahn.
I bet he was a kick in the ass to party with.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We all have, like, that dude.
Yeah.
You know, on the
yeah,
team.
Yeah, he just pulls up in the cop car he stole, three naked chicks in the back. We got handcuffs and all sorts of fun stuff to play with.
Turns the lights on. Yeah.
Mox thinks he's screwed because he's drinking the six-pack that the gas station attendant just gave him. He's like, your money's no good here. Here we go. Here's my contribution to underage drinking. Why don't you drive around a little bit? And Mox is sitting there with his six-pack. Tweeter pulls up in the cop car. He's like, oh, crap. I'm like, dude, he just stole a cop car. I think you're going to be okay with your six-pack.
Another character, another movie flaw there. Mox would have been in real trouble because that was right when he was kind of in the triangle with Allie Larder and his other girlfriend. And
Amy Smart.
Thank you. And if he would have given that, because that was, I don't know for you guys, but that was sacred. You don't give your Letterman jacket.
Yeah, right.
To anybody besides the gal you were going with.
He just took his Letterman jacket off and gave it to that random naked girl. Yeah, and it's just like, okay.
How mad do you think Tweeter was at that move, too? He's like, I've been working to get it.
Totally set me back,
you
man.
You just negated all that hard work.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, what are you doing to me, bro?
Tweeter's just walking around with a cowboy hat covered as you-know-what.
I'm glad that you guys were bothered by that, too, because I'm like, where did his jacket go?
Yeah, correct.
Did he ever get that bad boy back?
I have no idea. But it really was good. I mean, all of it. The strip club scene I thought was good. The comedic portions of that when they're there, like, knowing that they shouldn't, that walk out of, what is that smell? That's us. Like, all of that stuff. It just, it's very relatable, I would say.
Billy Bob, too, like, he was kind of, even though Mox is the main character, Billy Bob is kind of the heart and soul of the entire movie because he's dealing with concussions. His injury causes him to pass out, which is what got Lance Harbor hurt in the first place. Then he's really going through it because he viewed Coach Kilmer is like a fatherly figure, right, but also hated him. Mm-hmm. You see him battling that when he's out on the field by himself in the back of his truck.
Yeah, real flaw on Bud Kilmer. He didn't have a lot of depth because, I mean, he's forcing him to play with a concussion. You don't have a backup right guard? Like, it's not...
Well, and when he's in the nurse's office after Billy Bob passed out in the sex ed class, he's in the nurse's office and the coach just shows up. Like, I'm like, does he just work here? Mm-hmm. Like, he just has not teaching.
But not actually work there.
No, but nope. He just sits in his office and draws up plays.
Making sure his players are staying in line. And then there.
Billy Bob tells him, like, I can't play, coach, it's my head. Are you ready? Okay. Yeah, never mind. All right. Stay here and take advantage of the rest. We'll see you at practice at 4.
Yeah, correct. Correct.
Such a jerk.
Oh, so bad.
48 minutes after our final reviews coming up next.
Baseball season, and the Colorado Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Before this game started, Kilmer said, 48 minutes for the next 48 years of our lives.
I say, f*** that. Right? I say, f*** that. Let's go out there, and we'll play the next 24 minutes for the next 24 minutes. And we'll leave it all out on the field. We got the rest of our lives to be mediocre, but we have the opportunity to play like gods for the next half of football. But we can't be afraid to lose. There's no room for fear in this game. And we go out there and we half-ass it because we're scared. All we're left with is an excuse. We're always going to wonder. But we go out there and we give it absolutely everything. That's heroic. Let's be heroes.
Come on. Who's ready? Get it up!
Come on. I don't want your life.
All right, we got a minute left, gang. Time to go through the reviews. Derbs, we'll start with you, my friend.
100% starter.
Starter for sure.
Yeah, well done. Watch it anytime.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Starter.
Starter for you, Michael.
If it was made today, I would definitely start it. But because it was a little too 90s, I'm going to bench it.
Oh, you're
going to
bench
but
it?
But I'm not cutting
it. I'm shocked that you benched it. Okay. I thought you might cut it for sure. You know, before I watched the movie again last night, it was an obvious starter. And sometimes I wonder how these movies are going to affect me several years later. But it's just too fun of a movie. Even with the holes, there's definitely holes. You kind of have to check your brain at times, but it did have some heart.
Mm-hmm.
It was hilarious at most times, and it did, you know, it took me back a little bit, too. So, yeah, I'm going starter
whipped
for Varsity Blues.
I'm
not here to party. I'm here to work.
You weren't getting me out of that house of SEAL Team 6, man.
Also,
I don't want your life.
The most fun review we've had. So, yeah there's something to that. And I think, definitely a starter there. So, 3 starts and 1 bench. Probably our strongest movie so far.
Hall of Famer, if that's a option.
Probably a Hall of Famer. Good night, Northern Colorado.
I don't want your life.